All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. And as I mentioned, it is a very brief scripture this morning, but it is Thanksgiving. It fits with our series that we've been in. Let's read it together. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, that was really so short. We have to read it again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you, Lord, for every song and every word of praise and prayer. Lord, I pray that you will speak into our hearts today. I pray that you will challenge us with your word. Lord, that you will speak to us now. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. And we've been in a series entitled Stretched. And this morning I want to speak about the Thanksgiving stretch. The Thanksgiving stretch. We've been talking about how God uses the times in our lives when we feel pulled from either direction. The times that we feel the pressure of the stretch. Times when we're challenged to do more or to be more than what we've ever been, when we're stretched. Times when our faith is stretched, where things are piling up and it's getting a little bit harder to believe and our faith just gets stretched out. The stretch. Last week we talked about how that God stretches us with separation. That sometimes God takes things or people out of our lives and stretches us in that separation. We also talked about how God stretches us in a process that's called sanctification or holiness. And how God takes things out of our lives through the influence of His Spirit and His Word and challenges us to be more like Him, so that we are separated from the culture that is around us and separated to God, the stretch of separation. But this morning, as I was thinking about Thanksgiving and thinking about all of the good things that we've received, I thought of the importance of thanks. We all teach our children to give thanks. You know, I can remember when our daughters were young and somebody would give them something, we would say, "And what do you say?" How many of you have used that statement? "And what do you say?" And of course, the expected response is, "Thank you." Because we want to teach our children to be polite, but we also want them to be people who are grateful for what they have. Gratitude. And then, you know, sometimes they turn it around on you. They do something for you, you don't acknowledge it, and they stand there and they say, "And what do you say?" We've all been there. Our verse today is part of what, it's kind of like a staccato bunch of short verses that Paul pieces together, short statements that he pieces together as he's talking to the Thessalonians, and he's come to the end of his letter and he's got a bunch of things he wants to say, but he doesn't have time to go into them. So it's just like boom, 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 here it is, here it is, here it is. And in the middle of that, he reveals the will of God to the people of God. And at first glance, this command seems really easy and obvious. We should give thanks. We teach it to our children. We expect it when we give a gift. And I know that years ago it was thank you notes and cards. And now it's emails and Facebook thanks and notes. Always appropriate. But as I thought about this scripture, I thought about how in that little verse, that God uses Paul to put a big stretch on our lives. As I thought about that verse, I thought of the obvious, first of all, as particularly on Thanksgiving, but every day of the year, that we need to recognize our blessings. There's an old song that says, "Count your blessings and name them one by one." It goes on to say, and then it will surprise you what the Lord has done. But it's very easy for us to become so focused on the things that we don't have. We see what my neighbor has, and then we compare what I have, and all of a sudden, there's a discontent within. You know, your car was perfectly fine until your friend got a new one. And then all of a sudden, you hear every rattle, every clunk. All of a sudden, it's got too many kilometers on it. You can tell I'm from the miles generation. Too many kilometers on it. It's, you know, the paint's getting scratched up. It wasn't before. We live in a time of advertising that the whole point of advertising is to create or to expand a need you didn't even know you had. You know, your toothpaste was perfectly fine until you saw an advertisement that said, if you have this one, your teeth will sparkle. You know, I got news for you. They are never going to get like that. We live with a culture that brings discontent. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have drive. The Apostle Paul was one of the most driven people that you would ever find in anywhere. He was driven. It didn't mean that he didn't want things better, but it meant that he was perfectly content where he was in the journey. But sometimes we get so busy comparing ourselves with everybody else around us. Let me let you in on a little secret. There will always be somebody who has something more. There will always be somebody who has done something that you haven't done. You know, the rise of social media, and I've mentioned this just recently, but the rise of social media has also created discontent in people's hearts. They've actually done studies that have shown that the more friends that you have on Facebook and Instagram, the more likely you are to be discontent and a little bit frustrated. I remember when Facebook first started, and it was a big deal that everybody was trying to get as many friends as they want. I think when it comes to that, I'm probably the most unfriendly guy around. And, you know, people would say, well, I have 500 friends, or I have, you know, 1,000 friends. And really, I hate to burst anybody's balloon, but that's meaningless. Because a real friend is somebody who's there for you and who cares about you, not somebody who clicked a link. But the problem with social media is you're working your job. You've got your 2 or 3 weeks vacation during the year. You're making ends meet. And why is it on the week when you're slogging away the hardest that somebody is posting vacation pictures from some beautiful tropical paradise that you can't go to? Ever notice that? And the more friends you have, the greater the chance that somebody is going to be on vacation that week. And it doesn't matter that that's the only week vacation they've got. And they went into debt up to their eyeballs, which is a whole other story. They went into debt up to their eyeballs to go on vacation for a week and pay it off for a year or two. There's something in your head that says, it's not fair. I never get to go anywhere. Discontent. But there is a power in gratitude. A power in taking time to look at the blessings that you have and the things that you have received. As the old song said, count your blessings. Take a look at what God has done for you, not at what you think somebody else has got going. You know, being a pastor is an interesting position because you get insight into people's lives. You know a little bit more about what's going on, and it always is interesting to me when somebody comes and we're talking and they say, well, if I could just be like so-and-so, and you know, they don't have any trouble, they never have problems, look at them, I see them at church, they lift their hands, they got a smile on their face, and I'm thinking, you just don't know what they've gone through. Because you see, the Bible said, Job said, that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Everybody, if they're a human being, has problems in their life at one time or another. You just don't see them. And the amazing thing is sometimes they're looking at you and saying, if I could just be like them, because they don't have any problems. Look at them smile. Count your blessings. Begin to look at what God has done for you. Make a list. The Apostle Luke in his gospel tells the story about a group of lepers who were doing what lepers did. They were warning everybody, stay away from us, stay away from us. We're unclean, don't come near. And there's some interesting things about this story. It says that Jesus was passing through the coasts of Samaria and Galilee. And that as he did, a group of lepers came out and began to appeal to him for healing. Now, first of all, they were not supposed to come close to him. They began to appeal to him. And Jesus said, and if you read it, it's really interesting. Jesus doesn't even say, be healed. Jesus said, go to the priest and show him that you're healed. And so the 10 of them go scurrying off. Now their limbs are disformed and they're having problems getting around, and they scurry off to the priest. And then the Bible says that there was one who turned around and came back, bowed before him and began to give thanks. Then it records a statement that to us just as a statement of nationality, but it says, and he was a Samaritan. Now, you remember back a couple of weeks, we talked about the story of the Good Samaritan? And the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. And if anybody was expected to be the ungrateful ingrate, it was this guy. But he came back, and he bows before Jesus. And he begins to give thanks, and Jesus looked at him and said, where are the 9? Weren't there 10 of you all together? But the other 9 got so caught up with what was happening within their lives that they never thought to come back and say, Jesus, thank you for what you've done in my life. Could it be that sometimes we get so caught up with the blessings that we've received, we get so caught up with the good things that are happening that we pray and we pray, but we never take time to simply come back and say, Jesus, thank you for the blessings that I have in my life. Thank you. Thank you that I can know you. Thank you that I have a place to live. Thank you that I have food on my table. Thank you that I have people around me who love me. Thank you that you have blessed me when I've called on you. Thank you for my job. It might not be what I was looking for, but I thank you that I've got a job. Because you know there are people who desperately want one that don't. Thank you for my children. You know, sometimes your children they're always a blessing, but sometimes they can be a trial. But thank you for my children. And thank you for my car. I mentioned cars before. Thank you for my car. You know, it might be a jalopy and it might have a lot of miles on it and it might be this and it might be that, but there are all kinds of people who don't have. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus looked at that man and he said, Sir, your faith hath made you whole. There was something that happened in that man that did not happen in the others. You see, they went to be proclaimed clean, and true leprosy is a debilitating disease that basically rots away fingers, toes, extremities. Today we call it Hansen's disease. And as they went, they were no longer actively leprous. But the Bible says that Jesus looked at this man and said, "Be whole." Now, the Bible does not explicitly say this, so this is me. Okay, this is me. I believe that what happened there was that the man was already made clean. There was no more leprous spots. There was no more of the active leprosy. But I believe that what happened was that when Jesus said, "Hey, you be made whole," that all of a sudden what had been taken from him was restored to him. The others were healed. They could go back to society, but they would bear the scars of what they had. But this guy, Jesus said, "I'm telling you, you are made whole." And you might be here today and say, "That seems like something beyond what I could imagine." But that's God at work. God can do above what you ever imagined. All because, how much do we leave on the table because we rush off with our blessing instead of come back to say, "God, I thank you that you are the blesser in my life"? Gratitude. I like to think that if I was in that situation, that I would have come back to him. Luke pointed out he was a Samaritan, the one that nobody expected. In Psalm 92, we were studying the Sabbath on Wednesday night. Psalm 92 is a psalm that was written for the Sabbath. It was written to be sung on the Sabbath. And here's what it said. "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night." I read that and I thought, it's a good thing. And I've come here today to challenge all of us to first of all count our blessings, but secondly to realize that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Sometimes we come into church and we're so hungry for the blessing that we forget about the one who does the blessing. But there's something about a believer who comes with a heart full of gratitude to say, "Lord, I lift my hands right now. And I'm not lifting my hands because I'm expecting to get, but I'm lifting my hands because I've come to say, you have been so good to me." I'm clapping my hands, not because I'm excited alone, but I'm clapping because you are worthy because of the good things that you've given in my life. You see, you might have come in here today and you've been sitting there and the devil's been whispering in your ear, "You cannot clap, you can't lift your hands, you can't lift your voice because you've had a horrible week. You've done this, you've done that, it's been awful." But let me remind you that your worship is not about you. Your worship is about him. And if you've had the week from hell, you can still come and lift your hands and say, "God, you have been good to me," because it is a good thing to give thanks unto God. Hallelujah. Your flesh will tell you, no, you cannot do it. But oh, let me remind you that when you come into worship, you begin to worship him, not you. You begin to praise him for what he's done and for his power within your life. And for somebody here this morning, it's time to loose the shackles of fear and shame that have been on your life and to realize it is a good thing today. It is a good thing. And if it's a good thing, then why don't we do it? Oh, I want you to take a moment now. Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands and tell God thank you. That's it. Go ahead all over this place. Tell God you're thankful for his influence in your life. Tell him you're thankful for what he's done within you, for what he gives you, for his blessing in your life. That's it. Go ahead. God, you are so good to us. You are so good to us. It's a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Oh, doesn't it feel good to give thanks? You say, well, I don't have anything to give thanks for. You're here and breathing. That's something to give thanks for. Let me just draw a couple of points out of this. I think that all those lepers were grateful internally. I think they all, as they were walking down to the priest, and I think they were saying, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. But thankfulness is meant to be expressed, not just felt. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you need to, after service is done, go to and just say, I want to thank you for what you've done in my life. Thankfulness is a blessing not only to you, but thankfulness is a blessing to the person that you're thankful to. You'll notice that he cries loud in thanksgiving. He gave thanks with a loud voice. Sometimes we cry loud for help and low in praise. And then, I want to bring you to, well, the stretch. Because as exciting as it is to give thanks, and it's a good thing to give thanks, and you know, they've done studies that have found that people who constantly express gratitude feel better than people who don't. I come to the stretch. Let's go back to our scripture verse this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And here's the stretch. In everything, give thanks. That's tough. Because he didn't say in some things. He didn't say in the good things. He said in everything. Give thanks. It's a straightforward, all-encompassing statement. In everything. So as I read that, I thought, well, Lord, I'm feeling just a little bit stretched by this right now. So let me go to a couple other translations. See if they soften the blow at all. So the New Living put it like this. Yeah. Didn't help. Be thankful in... Oh, read this with me, this just that first phrase. Be thankful in all circumstances. Wow. So if I understand that right, that means if my boss is mean to me, I've got to find a way to be thankful. It means if my neighbor is grouchy, I've got to find a way to be thankful. It means that my kids are driving me insane. I've got to find a way to be thankful. Uh-huh. If I go to church and somebody doesn't shake my hand, I've got to find a way to be thankful because they might have the flu and I'm not going to get it. So the New Living wasn't any help to me. Because it said every circumstance. So then I thought, well, surely the message, because the message is a paraphrase, and surely it will help me find some way that I can excuse myself and not be stretched as much. So I looked at the message, and here's what it said. Yeah. Thank God no matter what happens. I mean, I know, they're all saying the same thing, but let me just bring this out a little bit. The King James says, in everything give thanks. That's one aspect. The New Living says, in every circumstance, which is the things that are happening, give thanks. And the Message says, and thank God no matter what happens. And I got through reading those and I was going to look at more and I thought, what's the point? Because the more I go, the more I'm feeling that stretch within. Because there are sometimes circumstances that I don't like, and there are sometimes things that I don't like, and there are sometimes that there are happenings that I don't like. And the Bible teaches me that I'm not only to count my blessings, which is easy, but when I go through my pain or when I'm in my trial or when people aren't treating me right, that I'm to go before God and to give thanks for what is happening. And maybe you're super spiritual, but I'm not always. And I've got to tell you that there are sometimes some things that happen that I look around and my first inclination is, hey God, what's going on? But on this Thanksgiving Sunday, the challenge of this message is that God stretches our understanding and stretches the way that we live to include not only when somebody does something nice for me to give thanks, but to include when they do something bad. So I looked at that and I thought, well, Lord, like if I'm going to talk about this, you're really stretching me. Because I have the same reactions that you do. You know, somebody does something to me, I want to do something back to them. Then the Holy Ghost kicks in. Amen? Or at least we hope the Holy Ghost kicks in. And so I was looking at this and thinking, Lord, I understand to give thanks when I get a promotion, but I don't understand to give thanks if I get a demotion. I understand to give thanks when somebody blesses me with money, but I don't understand to give thanks when I unexpectedly get a bill that I wasn't expecting and I don't have the funds. There are some really quick points I'm going to give you in the next couple of minutes. If the Apostle Paul can be staccato, so can I. The first thing is this. The reason that Paul could write that, and somebody said, well, you know, Paul, he was an apostle, he was a spiritual superman, and so he could write that because he doesn't know where I'm at. But then if you read the story of the Apostle Paul, he was persecuted. He had friends turn against him. He got beaten for the gospel. He got starved. He got run out of town. They tried to kill him. There were all kinds of things that happened. And still he could write, in everything give thanks. How can you do that? Number one, you need to have a firm assurance that God is on the throne and God is in control. God's in control. And as a follower of Jesus, you know, Romans chapter 1 teaches that one of the problems that God had with society was that they were ungrateful. But as a follower of Jesus, we're challenged to realize and to recognize that He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who sits on the throne. To understand that, as the Old Testament writer wrote, that our times are in His hands. To understand that not only is God all-powerful, but that God loves us. You know, we sing a song that says, He loves me, oh, how He loves me. But to understand that God loves me, and that God wants the best for me, and that while life throws things at us, and there are things that happen because of the fallen world that we live in, that God is on my side. Two guys were walking through a field one day, and they spotted a bull, an angry bull. And it started running towards them with its head down. And so they started running away, and it became really apparent they weren't going to make it. And so one said to his friend, John, we're in for it. Pray a prayer. Pray. And John said, I can't. I've never prayed a public prayer in my life. I can't do it. And his friend said, you got to, because that bull's going to catch us. So John, he was panting and hard to get his breath. He said, all right. I'll pray the only prayer I know, the one that my father used to pray when we would have dinner. Oh Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful. That's a little bit funny in that situation. But the Apostle Paul takes everything in life. And he said, be willing. This is the will of God. This is what God wants you to do. Take everything in life and be willing to say, thank you, God. I may not like it. He didn't say like it. He didn't say want it. But he did say in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Romans 8:28, which is so familiar. It says, for we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. I don't understand how my pain does anything good. And he didn't say that everything is good. He said it works together for good. That somehow, some way, God is working in my life. In the moments that I can see it, but in the moments that I don't. And Paul teaches us, in all of those moments, to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that person that's difficult in my life. Because sometimes God uses difficult people to teach us grace. Thank you for that delay when I was in a hurry, because God knows what would have happened if I hadn't been delayed. Thank you for those children that are driving me crazy, because they're a blessing in your life. Sometimes our greatest pain gives way to our greatest joy. He said, in everything, give thanks. How can I do that? Number one, God is in control. Number two, God is good. God isn't just good when I'm in church and I'm singing with everybody else, but God is good all the time. Sometimes we have an idea of God that God is just out to get me and God is just waiting to pounce when I make a mistake. But God is good. I close with this scripture. The music will come back. Matthew chapter 7. See, God is perfectly good. He doesn't just do good things. He is good. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? When my daughters were young, I was a soft touch. They'd look at me with big blue eyes, kind of bat their lashes a little bit. Anybody know what I mean? Maybe brown eyes, it may be green eyes, but you've had it, the eyes. And they'd look up at me with that sweet little faces, and they'd, Daddy. And you know what? If one of you had done that to me, I'd say, well, what's your problem? Like, really? Who's your daddy? But there was something about it that on those occasions, I think it worked more often than it didn't. But there was just something about it just kind of melt your heart. It's like, oh, well, I have the money in my pocket, and what's it gonna hurt anyway? You know, I'd be going by someplace, and anybody ever done this? You have young children, you're going by someplace, and you're thinking, I know they don't need it, but I'll just buy it for them and just take it home, just because it's not as, just take it home because. Anybody ever done that? You've done that, yeah? I got to bring this to an end, but you know what? Those of you who are married, it's a good policy if you're walking by something and saying, I know my wife doesn't need it, or my husband doesn't need it, but hey, it's just because. That won't cost you anything through that info. But you'll get major points for that. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Would you stand with me right now? I know it's Thanksgiving. I know some of you got Thanksgiving dinners coming up. But I've come here to challenge you that the will of God is, instead of complaining, to give thanks. The will of God is, instead of thinking, okay, this is good or this is bad, I will give thanks in everything. I don't have to like it. I don't have to even necessarily stay in the situation, but I will give thanks. I will give thanks. Because God is good. God is in control. And God's going to work this thing out. And this morning, in a moment, we're going to sing, but I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me right now as we pray. Father, we come in this place and we lift our hands and our voices and we sing songs of praise. But Lord, today we repent. Because so easily our voice of praise changes into a voice of complaint. And Lord, sometimes we complain more than we thank. But Lord, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would move through this place. Lord, I pray that you will challenge us in the stretch of thanksgiving. The Lord will not only thank you for the things we think are good, but will thank you in everything, every circumstance, everything that happens. Lord, that you will be able to shape us and mold us and change us as we give thanks in everything. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, for somebody here today that's been struggling with feelings of inferiority and has been struggling with internally, Lord, feeling like they have nothing, that everything is against them, I pray that today, Lord, you'll change that around. I pray, God, that you will make a difference in their life right now. Lord, I pray that there will be a commitment to thanksgiving. Lord, and we recognize you are a good, good Father in our lives. And we ask you for these things now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you join me in singing this song? It simply talks about how He is a good, good Father within our lives. And before we sing it, I want you to reach over to somebody beside you where it's appropriate. And if you need to move out of your seat, feel free to do that. But reach over to somebody beside you. And I want you to pray for them right now. Because you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what's happening in their situation. And I may not be able to pray for everybody who's here today, but as we pray together, God can do something through you in their life. I want you to pray blessing. I want you to pray direction in their life right now. I want you to pray that God will enable. That's it. Go ahead right now. Let's pray. Father, we join together. We join together in faith. Hallelujah. Lord, we join together in faith, believing for your influence in lives right now. We join together in faith, believing, Lord, that you will give strength and that you will minister. Lord, that your power will be at work. Lord, that your touch will be felt right now. Oh, Jesus, I stretch out my hands over this congregation, Lord, to believe you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, let burdens be lifted. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let healing take place. In the name of Jesus, let the Holy Ghost infill right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord, as your people pray for one another, Lord, let your presence move in the middle of it all. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's it. Go ahead and reach out to God. God's here to touch you right now. Whether you're at the front or the back, it doesn't matter. God's here to touch you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name above every name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Let the Spirit of God flow through your life right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, do what you want right now. Lord, move in our hearts like you want right now. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, in that name above every name. Hallelujah. That's it. Let God touch you right now. Let God touch you right now. Hallelujah. That's it. Your prayer is effective today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
You give life.
You are love.